greatly needing the Lord's gracious help, I ask you to turn with me to the Holy Scriptures in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and reading verses 10 and 11. Deuteronomy 32, and taking for our text verses 10 and 11. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them up on her wings. So Deuteronomy 32, and predominantly the two verses, verses 10 and 11. He found him in a desert land, in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. These are the words of Moses, the man of God. It was the most poignant time in his life. His work on earth was done. He'd come to the last day or two of his life. At the end of this chapter, the Lord tells him to get up to the top of Mount Nebo. There he was to view the landscape, or view the promised land of Canaan, and then be taken home to glory. Before he died, he spoke some of the most sacred words under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And this chapter 32, perhaps your Bible like mine entitles it The Song of Moses. This was Moses' song. This was his sacred poem. And so the language we have is poetic and figurative language. And he begins in the first six verses of ascribing greatness to our God. I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. And having started in such a sublime way, meditating on the greatness of his God, in verses 7 through 14, he sings of God's special care to his people. And as we tonight stand at the portal of the opening year, as we stand on the threshold of the unknown way of 2024, perhaps you, like myself often on a New Year's Eve, feel some trepidation. You have responsibilities, dates in your diary, decisions you have to make. There are threats, perhaps, things that you shrink from. And how those of you who do fear the Lord and are spiritually minded about these things, how we need the care of the Lord, which is described here. Now, before we come to the particular things the Lord will do for his people in our two verses of our text, I do also want to consider verse 8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, He set the bounds of the people. Did you know that the Most High has set the bounds of your life? Well, what does this word mean, the bounds? Well, literally here, Moses was looking at how the Lord, the Most High God, had literally set the boundaries, the borders of the children of Abraham, the children of Jacob in the land. He'd set the bounds. The Most High still sets his people's bounds. Now you come to the eve of the new year, each in very different circumstances. I don't know your circumstances, and I'm sure that many of you have things that only you or those very close to you know of. But do you believe that the Lord has set the bounds? Nothing has taken him by surprise on this New Year's Eve, as you travel from one year to the next. He has set the bounds of your health, or the lack of it. He has set the bounds of your home, where you live. He set the bounds of your circumstances, your church situation. He set the bounds of all the circumstances in your family, your life, your situation. And it's a lovely phrase that Moses uses here to describe he who has set your bounds. The Most High has set the bounds of the people. The Most High. What a lovely description of our great God. Perhaps you children sing in Sunday school, Jesus high in glory. The Most High, he's high in glory. He is high in honour. He is high in wisdom. He is high in power. He is high in compassion and love and mercy and care. The Most High. So this New Year's Eve, we worship the Most High God. We are glad, are we not, that he is the Most High. He sits on no precarious throne. He is the everlasting God. We read, didn't we, in Isaiah 40, the great chapter of his power and might. We saw him there as the one that sitteth on the circle of the earth, the Most High God. And he set your bounds. Now, why would such a high, great God so care to set the bounds of your life? One of countless millions on this earth. Why would he do that? Well, verse 9 gives the answer. For the Lord's portion, because he sets the bounds, because the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Those of you who are the Lord's people, you are his special care because you are his inheritance. You are his beloved portion. You are precious to him. And so, in covenant love, he has set the bounds of your life. I love to think of the security of the covenant of grace, ordered in all things and sure. It may be like David, you come to this point in your lives and you look back and you say, even though my house be not so with God, not everything in the house of my heart or the house of my church or the house of my family is as it should be. Even though my house be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant ordered in all things and sure. And in the covenant, he views you as his inheritance, his special care. And so he set the bounds of your life and your circumstances. And we now come to these beautiful two verses of our text. And we see here what he will do for you in Christ Jesus. Those of you who this night are going into a new year, trusting in Christ, praying to God in Christ Jesus, that he will go with you and travel with you into the new year, the unknown way. These are some of the things he does for you. And I'll perhaps just highlight some of them and we'll come back to them. We have them one after the other. He finds you. He leads you. He instructs you. He keeps you. He cares for you as an eagle for her young. And he carries you. He bears you up on his wings. So let us start with this. He finds you. He found him in a desert land, in the waste, howling wilderness. Now these two scriptures have three poetic illustrations, and this is the first of the three. We have these metaphors woven to emphasize the points of God's care to his people, and the first of the three is a desert land, the waste, howling wilderness. It's a desolate description, isn't it? It speaks of barrenness. It speaks of a desolate landscape, even a threatening landscape, as the wind howls through the canyons of a barren wilderness. But the people of God are not alone there. They're not lost there. He's found them there. Well, what does this mean? Well, of course, there are layers of interpretation here. Literally, in the context, the Lord found his ancient people in the desert land of Egypt and the waste howling wilderness of the wilderness journey as he brought them to form them as a people for his praise. That's the literal meaning. Then the second layer is Stephen in he refers to the church in the wilderness. And it speaks spiritually of sin and salvation in the gospel day, that the Lord finds his people in the desert of this world, in the waste howling wilderness of Satan's clutches, and saves them by his grace. Can you look back tonight? Say, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He, to save my soul from danger, interposed his precious blood. He found him in a desert land, in the waste howling wilderness. And so we have the literal, the spiritual in terms of sin and salvation. And thirdly, we have really, especially as it lays on me tonight, the Lord's dealing with us in the Christian pathway, in our life circumstances. And for all the points we go through this evening, you can make those same three applications. But particularly tonight, we're perhaps interchange a bit, but particularly tonight it lays on me with our going into a new year. And our Christian pilgrimage in the unknown way. And sometimes your circumstances may threaten you like a waste howling wilderness. I have no doubt that myself and probably many of you at some point in 2024 we'll hear the wind howl in our life circumstances. It's unsettling, isn't it? Literally, naturally. I don't know whether here in Surrey you had a stormy light last night, but at midnight in Hertfordshire it was a howling wind. It woke some of us up. And it's unsettling. You hear bangs and noises and it threatens you. And it's like that in Providence sometimes. There's things to unsettle. Things that we don't like the sound of. Waste howling wilderness. But there's not a circumstance you can come into in this new year, but the Lord cannot find you there and bring you safely through whatever perplexity or threat or crooked place. He found me in a desert land. He led me about. He led me about. The children of Israel, on their journey through this wilderness, literally needed leading, didn't they? They would have been lost. But they had the fiery, cloudy pillar to lead them every step of the way. He led them about. And we too, metaphorically, are on a journey through life. And tonight, as every New Year's Eve, is a milestone, isn't it? You see them sometimes, the old-fashioned milestones, don't you? Around here, I've seen them. It's Ditchling so far, Brighton so far. Tonight, the milestone is 2023 that way and 2024 that way. And sometimes we shrink from it, don't we? We're concerned what lies ahead. And we may feel alone. But this word tells us we're not alone. There is one with us, the Most High God, and in his Son, Christ Jesus. And he will lead you. It's a recurrent theme in Scripture. The words of Jesus, is it John 10, John 6, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And there is not a circumstance that the Lord has prepared for you in the new year, but the Lord Jesus is not there already. He will not lead you into a place where he won't be there to protect and keep you. When my wife and I were newly married, we moved down to work in Bath. And we felt very alone in some ways. We didn't know anyone in the town. And we both were working very hard and under some pressure at work. And my wife had a plaque. And on the plaque it had these words: "The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you." And I looked at that day after day, and it was a great comfort to me. As I was struggling at work, and I thought, well, we're here, away from everyone, and I felt inadequate. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. But then I was tempted, because it wasn't a scripture. So I asked my father, and he says, well, it's not a scripture, but it speaks the language of scripture. And we have it here, don't we? He led him about. He's there. You're not alone in the unknown way. He led him about. And he leads us safely. He safely leads my soul along. His loving kindness, oh, how strong, he leads you. He found him in a desert land in the waste-howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He instructs you. Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, how do I make this choice? Lord, I've got to make this decision. It has to be made. But Lord, I don't know what to do. He instructed him. Oh, that we might have the grace to come in all our need and ignorance and fear of making the choice of the wrong way to the one who promises to instruct his people. The psalmist prayed, didn't he? The psalmist prayed, show me thy ways, teach me thy paths. And if you come seeking to be given an open mind, to come prayerfully, he will instruct you. How? Through his word, by his spirit. And all instruction in the matters of sin and salvation, in every soul concern, in every step in providence, is found in his precious word. And I think you'll find this, that as you come praying the Lord to guide you, to lead and direct you, you'll find that that scripture arrests you as you tear it off on the text calendar, and it's confirmed as you read in your reading the next morning. And perhaps there's a word that the preacher comes that is so apt for your circumstance. That is the word of the Lord to you, as blessed by his Spirit. And there is a word in his Holy Bible for every circumstance, everything we need. He instructs you. And then we read this beautiful phrase. He kept him as the apple of his eye. He keeps you. He keeps you. And so we have the second of our third poetic imagery. The apple of his eye. The apple of the eyes, the pupil at the front of our eyes. It's probably the most sensitive part of our bodies, isn't it? And when the Lord created us, he gave us such protective reflexes to protect the apple of our eye, the pupil of our eye, that it's not damaged. If a piece of grit flies up, do we not blink and our eyes stream and we turn our heads down? We will do nothing until that grit is cleared. That's what you do for your eye. But believer, this is a beautiful thing tonight as you go into a new year. The Most High is going to watch over and protect you as he protects the apple of his own eye. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Oh, what divine protection, what keeping. The Lord our God will keep us safe, just as he keeps the apple of his eye safe. He will keep our soul safe. He will keep us safe in the circumstances we come into. I don't know if any of you here remember Mr. Jim Brooks, who I only knew when he was in the Harpenden Bethesda home. But if you ever visited the lounge at the Harpenden Bethesda and went to say hello, how are you, Mr. Brooks? He only ever replied with one word. How are you, Mr. Brooks? Kept. That's what he said every time. Kept. Some of these dear old saints were so well taught, weren't they? 1 Peter 1 verse 5, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. I think as we get older and older and further in the way, do we not more value the keeping grace, the preserving grace of the Most High, to keep us from falling, to keep us from ourselves, to keep us from blotting our profession, to keep us from the evil one, Satan's temptations. It's also to keep our bodies, to keep our minds. We sing, don't we, "A sovereign protector I have, unseen yet forever at hand." How does it go? Almighty to rule and command. Now, those of you, there's a few of you here in the Lord's providence who were brought up at Bethel Chapel, Luton, and you will remember, as I do, how the late pastor there, whenever a new baby was brought to the house of God for the first time, he would always pray, most particularly for them, and he would use this phrase. It's actually Psalm 17, verse 8, "Lord, keep me as the apple of the eye." This promise, but as a prayer. And looking around here, I can count 5, 6, 7 of you that was prayed over when you were a babe in arms. Has the Lord failed you? It's been wonderfully answered in many of your lives. And he will. It's a wonderful truth that trusting in him, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, he does keep his people from dangers seen and unseen. Praise be his name. He found him in a desert land and in the waste town wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. That's verse 10. Verse 11, we come to the third of the three poetic metaphors. An eagle with her young. And look at the care of this mother eagle to her young. An eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over the young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them. Now, I'm not going to go through those one by one. I'm going to take those four things all together, really demonstrating that just as that mother eagle so diligently cares for her young, so does Almighty God care for his people. He cares for you. It's a scene of activity, isn't it? He fluttereth over them, spreadeth abroad his wings, taketh them. But there's a particular care that's going on here. This young eagle can't stay in the nest forever. This young eagle's growing up, and the mother eagle's got to teach it to fly the nest. And this caring activity, stirring up the nest, fluttering over them, taking them, it's describing the mother eagle preparing the young to fly. Now, there may be some of you in your circumstances, the end of a year, would you rather stay in the nest of 2023? We can't, can we? Can't stand still on the pilgrimage of life. Got to fly the nest of 2023 into 2024. And the young eagle's frightened. Doesn't quite know how it's going to manage. But the young eagle is not alone. They say that mother eagles are one of the most diligent of all parents in the bird kingdom, don't they? And it's a lovely metaphor for the Lord watching over his children. And how he cares for them. How we read, don't we, the loving care of our Heavenly Father, for he careth for you. If naturally, you who have been parents, and have you ever taught your child, a toddler, to ride a bike? Taught them to swim? And the child's frightened. But what do? You start with the stabilizers, and you take off the stabilizers, and you stand behind. They might wobble, but they're never going to fall off and hurt themselves, because you're right there to care for them. And that's exactly how the Lord cares for his people going into the new year. Right by their side to care for their every need, to provide for their every need. He does lead us safely on. Now, finally, we have the last clause in our text, beareth them on her wings. Yes, in the new year, the Lord will find you. He will lead you. He will instruct you. He will keep you. He will care for you. But perhaps this is more precious than anything. He will carry you. He will carry you. He will carry me through. Beareth them on her wings, carried on eagle's wings. They say eagle's wings are the broadest in the bird kingdom, aren't they? 6 to 8 feet. The most powerful, magnificent wings. Under the inspiration of God, Moses couldn't have found a more impressive metaphor. And the Lord carries his people. We have it several times in the scriptures. It's not a unique thing to this passage. We have it in Isaiah 46 and verse 4, and even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs, to grey hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry. He will carry. Isaiah 63 verse 9. He bare them and carried them all the days of old. What a comfort for the new year this truth is. I wonder how many of you have read that popular poem, Footprints. It's the sort of thing, if you ever go in a Christian bookshop, there's many cards or bookmarks with it on. And perhaps, as at times, you've looked at it like me and thought, well, it's sentimental slush. Well, is it? Shall we bring it to the Word of God tonight? That poem, imaginatively, thinks of our life as a walk along the beach. And as this traveller through life walked along the beach, scenes from his life came into his mind. And he noticed that at the difficult times in his life, there was just one set of footprints on the sand. The easy times, there were two sets. And imaginatively in the poem, Footprints, the traveller asked the Lord, why in my times of greatest need did you leave me? And in the poem, the Lord replies, my precious child, at those times I pick you up and carried you. That's why there's only one set of prints there. Well, it's imaginative, isn't it? But I do believe that it communicates a scriptural truth. I've proven it to you just by these three passages, that the Lord has promised to carry his people in difficulty, in the unknown way. And that's a great comfort, because very often we feel too weak for the task, don't we? We feel inadequate. We shrink from it. And perhaps sometimes in the midst of life, with family pressures and work pressures, and responsibilities in the church of God, and then perhaps difficulties in your health and various other things, you think, how can I go on? And life becomes difficult. But may it be that at such times we can depend on the one who finds us and leads us and instructs us and keeps us and cares for us. And yes, Lord, that's wonderful, but I still can't do it on my own. Then, Lord, carry me through. Carry me through. I read to you in Isaiah 40 those words, "He giveth power to the faint." I love that. He gives power to the faint. We sometimes feel faint, don't we? We feel faint by the wayside. And the Lord acknowledges this. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Perhaps you're in a situation where people from the outside think you should be strong and full of vigour. And inwardly, you're like one of these youth that are fainting and weary. And the young men, who seemingly are in their prime, utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let us go into the new year in leaning upon this great God, trusting in him, seeking that he'll bear us up as on eagle's wings, he'll carry us through the year, and then we shall walk and not faint. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? And all of these blessings for the way, they're all in Christ Jesus, aren't they? They're all through his grace, through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. And trusting in him, in the goodness, to use the word of this morning, that flows to us in Christ. These blessings are here to carry us through the new year. You know, it's very, very easy. And I find that I do it so often. It's very easy to look around at the waste howling wilderness. It's very easy to look in at our sins and failures. It's very easy to look ahead at impossibilities. But oh, that this night we might have grace to look up to the blessings of the Most High God in Christ, who's promised to find us and lead us and instruct us and keep us. I'm going to close with a poem of an American woman called Annie Johnson Flint. A beautiful poet who languished on a sickbed most of her life and was given to write some beautiful poetry. And she writes in one of her poems about looking back and looking around. But she closes with this: "I commend it to you for our New Year's resolution, but I look up into the face of Jesus, for there my heart can rest, my fears are stilled, and there is joy and love and light in darkness and perfect peace and every hope fulfilled. Amen.